Sarah Kennedy, the founder and CEO of Callow Curb, is on the podcast today, sharing how she and her team are offering the first natural alternative to GLP-1 injections. If you suffer from persistent food cravings, you want to lose weight, you're on Ozempic or another GLP-1 injectable, or you know someone who is, do not miss this episode. You are going to be amazed by what Sarah has to share about the incredible results that they are getting from people who are taking Callow Curb. Unlike the GLP-1 injectables, where you have to take them every week to get results, you can take Callow Curb in a variety of ways for what you need. And these capsules don't have the nasty side effects that are so common with the injections. And the story behind how Callow Curb was discovered and developed is fascinating. Oh, I am so excited for you to learn all about this. So let's get the skinny from Sarah Kennedy.
When was the last time you said, "It has to be me"? You know, that feeling where you know in your gut, this is what I want to do, and you just go for it. Welcome to It Has To Be Me. I'm Tess Masters, and I'm getting the skinny from people who are smashing their fears and doubts to go from dreaming to doing. Let's dive in, get fired up, and go after your next It Has To Be Me.
Oh, Sarah, I am so excited to talk about Callow Curb, which is taking the world by storm. So first of all, let's just start at the beginning. Can you explain what Callow Curb is and what the active ingredient is?
Sure, Tess. Look, I will start at the beginning because I think it's fascinating. It started in 2010 when a group of very talented scientists, our government scientists, had a hypothesis that they would find a natural or a plant-based natural extract that suppressed appetite. Now, why did they have this hypothesis? It came from both historical reasons. So historical being, in times of famine, Scottish people chewed very, very bitter berries to suppress their appetite. In the Kalahari Desert, tribesmen chewed very bitter cacti before they went out hunting. That was actually the origin of hoodia, and this all suppressed appetite. And also there'd been, this is 2010, some recent work done in rats on bitter substances reducing appetite. So they put in a grant from the government, and it was called Foods for Appetite Control. It came back and, you know, like no one actually thinks it, but New Zealand has an obesity problem as well. And they got a $20 million grant for this, what they put in this hypothesis. They started, now bear with me because it gets a bit more interesting, but they started and they took 300 biopsies from the human gastrointestinal tract. It was absolutely hilarious how they got them, because the chief scientist had to go around and hang out in hospital lobbies and ask people who were going to have a biopsy, either a gastro biopsy or a colonoscopy, you know, if they'd give him some cells. Well, a lot said no, because they had to be non-disease people. Anyway, he finally got the 300 biopsies, and they mapped the bitter taste receptors right down through the gastrointestinal tract. Now, that had not been done before. So we all know we have bitter taste buds on our tongue, but not through our gastrointestinal tract. Wow. And why that's important is when you bitter to our taste buds often meant toxic. So it's an evolutionary mechanism of our body to reject bitter things. So if you put them on your tongue, you're going to spit it out. If you put it into your stomach, you might feel nauseous, or you may want to eat more, because your body is either trying to get rid of it or get you to eat more food so you dissipate that potential toxin. But if it goes into your upper intestinal tract, you're going to stimulate the release of natural appetite suppressing hormones, that being GLP-1, CCK, and PYY. So they mapped them all down. They proved that these intestinal cells, or these intestinal bitter taste buds, released GLP-1, CCK, and PYY. So that was great that they had that. That was 2 years later. Wow. They then built a high throughput model, or endocrine, using these cells as endocrine model. And they tested over 1,000 natural extracts on it. So what could make these food extracts or natural plant-based extract, what could make these express? Well, not unsurprisingly, only two substances made them express. One was a potato oxalate that may be good, but it's poisonous, so you'd be dead.
Not so good.
Not so good. Maybe thin, but dead. Second one was a hops extractor, and this was sort of the eureka. So they then went and tested 50 other hops extract to get the penultimate one that expressed the most. And it really did. And then they did dose dependencies. They did a whole lot of things. And then they formulated it into capsules. Being scientists as scientists are, they actually took it themselves for a while and did a whole lot of things. So that was great. And then in 2016, they took it into its first human clinical because they knew it worked in the laboratory.
And on themselves.
And on themselves, but they didn't know would it work in a, you know, double-blind placebo clinical. So this was quite a large one, 30 men, all of them were cannulated so they could take blood over these periods. And it was a big clinical trial, so 30 men all cannulated. They gave what was not even a name then, a capsule with the active ingredient they'd called this hops extract, they called Amarisate. They gave them that an hour before an ad libitum or an eat till you're full lunch and an eat till you're full snack. And they measured the bloods. So CCK, which is a very potent appetite suppressing hormone, and GLP-1, they stimulated at 600% above base level.
Whoa.
And PYY at 400. Now, why that's so important is, you know, a lot of things say, oh, I activate GLP-1. Well, yes, they do. Everything activates GLP-1. It's a natural feedback mechanism. But unless you get it above 400%, you're not going to get any behavioral change whatsoever. So they got these massive, massive biologically statistical elevations. And then they obviously measured calorie intake. And they got on average an 18% reduction in calorie intake. So then they had the mode of action. They knew it worked by giving this extract. They knew it worked. They knew it stimulated the appetite suppressing hormones, and they knew it reduced calories. Now you've got to remember that was in 2016. So that was long before the Ozempic Wegovy craze.
Yeah.
No one was talking about it then. They approached me in 2017, you know, from my background in running companies and natural health companies and nutritional companies, and said, what would you do with it? I was so entranced by the science. I've never seen that amount of science in this category, you know, because we do know this category has been plagued by a lot of shonky or, you know, not backed by science, or things that just aren't that great, you know, like stomach fillers or, you know, or laxatives or, you know, even caffeinated, you know, hyper. So we know, but this was imitating your natural physiological response. So I said, hey, I like it so much, I want it. So, you know, then went through the process of, you know, raising money, forming a team, doing all of that, and launching on the market in 2018. I would say, you know, it grew well, but the understanding of people on the physiology of weight management is incredibly low. So if you say to people, I'm stimulating your hormones or your appetite suppressing hormones, that are going to tell your brain that you're full. They're like, what? You can make with my hormones? All of these types of things. So we grew. But the huge breakthrough for us was in 2021 when Wegovy was approved by the FDA for treatment of obesity. Novo Nordisk spent $1 billion on advertising.
Wow.
They took out 239,000 doctors to lunch and dinner. They literally educated the market on the etiology or what causes weight and what is it about. And, you know, I really thank them for that because, you know, the doctrine that we have always lived by where, you know, it's exercise and diet and you just don't have the willpower is just wrong, wrong, wrong. And so many people have lived with this stigma and self-hatred because they lack willpower. They do. Look, that is one part of it. Willpower has got nothing to do with it. And so they educated the market. So after that, you know, our job became easier.
Wow. So I want to just drill further on the supply chain part of this now. So, and also these clinical trials. So you say that the original trial was 30 men. Then you had a clinical trial for women, correct? Because so many of the trials are just about males. And we know that the female market is absolutely huge and women want to get in on this. So I'm interested in what happened with the way that you then tested it on women.
Yeah, so great. And it's probably one of the ones I'm the most proud of. We then went on and did a clinical. You always do clinicals, your first clinicals in men, because they don't have hormone. Well, they do have a few hormones, but not so we did what we called a hunger trial because we had the physiological, we had the mode of action, but we then had to get that do a hunger measurement. So we did it in men first, 30 men, I think it was again. And remember, people would say these are small trials, but when you do a clinical trial, it has to be what they call powered, which means that is the amount of people you are allowed to use that will give you a statistically significant result if you're going to get one. Ethics boards would not allow you to do more. So I just want to say that because everyone goes, oh, that's a small trial. Well, it's actually that is the amount you can use. Anyway, so 30 men, and it was a 24-hour water-only fast, and we gave Calicurb 16 hours and 20 hours, and we measured their hunger, and we got an 80% reduction in increased hunger. So by 24 hours, they were, compared to placebo, they were 80% less hungry. So massive, because that last 8 hours of a 24-hour fast is extremely difficult. We then repeated that in females. And as I said, why females are more difficult and take a lot longer is because with 30 women, we had to line up their menstrual cycle on the exact day, same day of the week, three times with 30 women. And that was over COVID.
So, wow.
I mean, so that's 30 women doing it three times on the same time in their menstrual cycle on the same day of the week. So obviously it's going to miss some. Anyway,
wow.
18 months and $250,000. But, oh, I was so proud of it. Well, firstly, it showed, you know, women aren't little men. Big factor here. Second thing is women are more responsive to GLP-1. We think there's a reason for that, but we got 100% decrease in increased hunger. So they were no more hungry at 20, this is compared to placebo, at 24 hours than they were at 16 hours. But the one that really blew me away, we got 120% decrease in craving. So they were craving less at 24 hours than they were at 16 hours.
Wow.
We then gave them an eat to their full meal at the end, and we got a 14.5% reduction in calorie intake, which, remember, was 4 hours after they'd last taken Calicurb. So it just shows the length of time it works for. So why would women be more responsive to GLP-1? Look, there are many theories, but it is thought to be a protective mechanism for women if they carry fetuses. So they're not going to eat anything toxic. So there
is
a
mechanism.
The second thing that made me very excited was not only the reduction in hunger, but craving. Craving On average, a woman will eat 250 calories more in her luteal phase of her menstrual cycle, and up to 600 calories. So this is what we call colloquially, premenstrual. I'm feeling premenstrual. I want to eat chocolate. I want to do that. And this is this craving. Now, it in turn is natural because you may have the possibility of fertilizing that egg and impregnating it. So your body is saying, oh, eat more because you're going to ovulate that egg and you may need that energy. But of course, we're not going to do that every month. So every month, you get this average of 250 calories more because your body is telling you to. So I think Kalakub can really not just help people make healthy choices, but can help them in particular times, of the month, and particularly women. So yeah, it was a long trial. It was an expensive trial. I think I rang my chief researcher, the government one, probably every day for the last 3 months, going, have you got a result? Have you got a result? Have you got a result? But yeah, it was worth it because it was over COVID. So that's the three human clinicals. We're on to our fourth human clinical now, which is our largest, and that is 150 people, men and women. So not just little men and women, and BMI, so body mass index between 25 and 35, and it's over 6 months with a 3 month follow up, and we're measuring body composition, blood glucose, GLP-1 levels, and of course a major one is for us is weight loss. So that will be finished in the last half of this year. So that's a big trial. That's $2 million. So, yeah.
Wow. So people are already using this in the United States widely. So I was asking you about your supply chain. So a lot of these so-called, natural supplements, whatever, they're packaged in China. We don't know what's going on over there, right? Yours is all done in the United States, right?
No, well, we grow the extract in New Zealand,
Right,
in one of the
yes.
most beautiful places called Motueka. So it's a hops flower, and we extract the hops flower. It almost looks like a honey, so very sticky, very thick honey, which we package and then we send to the US. And
Okay.
it's encapsulated in the US by a company called Lonza, which is one of the largest capsule manufacturers in the world. And it's an FDA, GMP, NH, I don't know, so everything behind it. I've been through it. It's a fabulous plant. And it's encapsulated in a delayed release cap. And why it's in a delayed release? Because we want it to go down and it deposits in the upper intestine, and that's where it disperses. So it has to be. So we have a patent around our formulation, which is granted in America and Australia and pending Europe. And the capsule we put it in is patented as well. We then bottle and label in America and sell in America.
Okay, so it's the hops is grown in New Zealand and then it's sent to America. And so what else is in the capsule? I mean, I know it's a proprietary formula, but in a
No, that's
general
right. It's
sense.
always on a capsule. And I love it that it's patented. It only took us 6 years. It's a long process.
Wow.
So in the capsule is Amarisate, being the hops extract.
Yes.
So Amara meaning bitter and sate meaning satiation. Only
Yes.
scientists could think of that because no one else can pronounce it. So I've heard it's called so many things, but that was the scientist. So Amarisate being the hops extract, a vegetable oil which helps it disperse in the upper duodenum, otherwise it'd sort of go through and not really activate. So it needs to disperse partly, and then rosemary in at a small amount, which is a natural preservative. So you've got three natural ingredients that we know the providence of or where they come from each one, and each of them are tested. So so the rosemary comes from Spain, the vegetable oil from America, and the Amarisate from New Zealand. So vegetarian, the whole thing's vegetarian, vegan, and so on like that.
And gluten-free and all the rest of it.
Gluten-free, yep. All this. And I just want people listening to understand you will never taste the bitterness unless you chewed the tablet, which would be silly. You will never taste it. What we are doing is stimulating these little taste receptors that sit in your intestinal tract, and we're stimulating it as it goes down. So you're getting this prolonged. I think the other important thing is it is targeted at the gastrointestinal tract. So we don't, literally 99% of it is digested in the lower colon or broken down in the lower colon, less than 1% in the bloodstream. So it doesn't interfere with the liver, it doesn't interfere with the kidneys, and it won't interfere with medications. You know, the only contraindication we would say would be if you had an inflammatory gastrointestinal, so a Crohn's disease or an IBD or something like that, because you've got an inflamed and gastrointestinal system, so you don't want to, you don't want to be doing anything to it, basically.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So how do we take it?
Oh,
so you were
great.
Talking about an hour before meals. Do you have to take multiple capsules a day? What's the recommendation, how we would use it?
Okay. On the label and on the box, we say take an hour before lunch and dinner, right? Mm-hmm. Two main meals, you know, to get your portion control, right? So that just makes it easy for people to think about it and portion control. But there are many ways to take it. I mean, I intermittent fast, and I always say because I'm lazy, it's the easiest thing for me to do. So I, and it just, you know, it's just an easy thing, particularly with traveling. So I take mine at about 9 o'clock, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and that sees me right through to lunchtime. You know, I'm totally fine. I'm not thinking about lunch. I can walk past those muffins. I can walk past that morning tea and not worry about it. So I can do that. And also I'm going to eat a smaller lunch. I'm not going to overeat or have rebound eating. So I take it like that. For other people, like, let's talk about cravings during the menstrual cycle. You know, I would probably, when you know you're going to have those cravings, I'd probably take it in that week. Or I'd take it before dinner because it'll last right through and it'll stop that chocolate craving after dinner. If people are going to exercise, we say take it, you know, an hour before you exercise, because often you'll come out of exercise and you'll be ravenously hungry, which isn't a bad thing because you've used energy and your body is saying, hey, you've used up energy, have some more. But this will just, we say, don't waste your workout. So typically 2 hours, an hour before a main meal. And just on the, with it, we have an onboarding program. Because of one a day for 2 days, then two a day for 2 days, and then you get up to the full dosage, which is two before lunch and two before dinner. Now, the reason we say this is that this is a biologically active product, right? So 5% of people, and we're very upfront about that, when they first take it, will get a laxative effect or a softening stool effect. Mm. It's actually a good thing because your body's saying, hey, you're getting this increase of these hormones being released. So it's actually, you've got a functioning gut-brain access.
Yeah.
90% of people like me, you won't have anything. And maybe in that top 5%, you might need to take three at top dosage. But for that 90%, you sit in the middle. And, you know, it's like a pharmaceutical. Everyone has a different way they adapt to them. And that's the same as this. So we do have an onboarding program, which we always say, take on an empty stomach. The reason being is you want it to go through to your upper digestive system. You don't want it to be stopped in the stomach, and take it with a glass of water.
And so is this something where you do your onboarding and then you start taking it and then you work up to the full dosage, which for the typical person is two before lunch, two before dinner. So is this something that you can also take sporadically whenever you feel like it? Like, how does that work? Like, for someone that's listening going, well, I don't want to be a slave to be taking four of those every day for the rest of my life.
Tiny capsules.
Yeah, where's the flexibility in this for somebody?
Total and utter flexibility. And like I only take it once a day, unless I'm going to be eating out late at night. And then I think, oh God, I'm going to be eating at 8 o'clock. You know, I'm traveling or something. I'll take one now so I'm not ravenous by then. But, you know, a lot of people come in and out of it. You know, they're going on holiday. Mind you, I think it's best to take it on holiday. But they're going something and they're like, no, nah, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to take my Calico. And, you know, it's perfect for that. So all my jeans are getting a bit tighter or something like that. You know,
so you can go on and off it and just use it as a tool. So, for example, if you were going on a family holiday and you actually were feeling like at your ideal weight and you didn't want to eat everything in sight on your trip to Paris for a week or something, you wanted to eat a little bit but not a ton, could I take it for that week and then maybe not take it for a few months? How does that work?
Totally and utterly, and that's why for me, for traveling, I think it's unbelievable. Like, you know, I travel a lot, but particularly in the US, and that's just a standby for me because, you know, I'm on planes or I'm in airports and I'm surrounded, as you can imagine, by, you know, not that great of food. And I'm still going to eat. I'm just not going to eat as much. I think that's the point. You're not going to go, oh, I hate food. You're not going to do that because we are, compared to a synthetic, right, and we can talk about that, compared to a synthetic injectable, that you are at a high level of GLP-1 for 24 hours a day for 7 days. Mm. Remember, we work for 6 hours and we stimulate GLP-1 when you need it. That's either to suppress your hunger or to eat less. And we follow the body's normal rhythm of it. So, yeah, absolutely. And that's the fabulous. We do have people, well, lots of people who have been on it for years. And they just, it's their multi, I hate to say it's their multivitamin, but it's their multivitamin for the modern world.
Just a tool in a greater toolkit. It's just one tool in a toolkit. I love this. How would you compare yourself to some other things that have gained a lot of traction and in the market, like Barbarine and things like that? Like, how would you compare to something somebody else might have been taking?
Sure. Berberine does nothing to GLP-1. Okay, let's get that straight. Berberine levels blood glucose. It is used as a blood glucose level, but it does nothing for GLP-1. It works in a it works in a metabolic way, but blood glucose, so it kind of levels blood glucose. That is what berberine does. So berberine is not going to do anything to GLP-1. It does nothing, and it shouldn't ever purport to do anything for your hunger or your craving.
Thank you so much for clarifying that, because there's so much misinformation about all of this stuff, you know, and you see it online, your neighbor might be taking it. Oh yeah, I'm doing this as an appetite suppressant. Da, 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 da. And all the correct information gets lost along the way. So I do want to dive into what you were just touching upon, the difference between GLP-1 agonist injections and Calicurb, and just the differing science and the way that it is administered, the way that it's released in the body. I'd love to just really clear up some misinformation about all of that as well. Because, you know, we're now learning that these agonist injections are dose dependent and that people are taking it at these extremely elevated dosages, and that actually now they're having more success microdosing and bringing the dosages down. And I know that you're watching this space so closely. So talk us through that.
Yeah. Well, let me first tell you about the difference. So an injectable, a GLP-1 injectable, or a GLP-1 receptor agonist, they're called, they are a synthetic. They have copied our natural GLP-1, right? And they've copied it, and they've changed one molecule so it lasts for 7 days in the body. Normally, your GLP-1 would last for 2 minutes, right? And that our Maraceute works because we're activating all of these little taste buds right the way down through. So we're sort of firing them as they go down. Think of a pinball machine. We're like that. a synthetic's injecting it into you, so it's in your bloodstream. We are in the intestinal tract and we're stimulating that. But it is high for 7 days. Now, there's nothing wrong with that other than it is that what we would call a supra-physiologic, that is a word, by the way. the scientists are telling me, and I'm looking at them like, did you make that up or something? but it is actually a word. Obviously, it's a science word. And the supra-physiological level, and that high for 7 days, till it's finally broken down. So you have high GLP-1 when you're asleep, you know, and all of these things when you don't need it. And of course, you know, there are many side effects with it, because at a very high level that is, you start to get into this biotoxicity level where you will feel nausea, you will feel, you know, you will have vomiting, you will have these different reactions, this abhorrence, because it's at a very, very, very high level. So we are completely natural. We are just stimulating your natural GLP-1. However, you know, I think to what you were saying, where we're finding it the most fascinating since 2021, 22, you know, we've been used in three ways. One is, of course, you know, the most obvious, with as an alternative. You know, I don't want to inject myself. I can't afford it. It seems too extreme to me, or I just can't take the side effects. So we are an alternative. Let me just back up from that. Semaglutide, which is Wegovy or Ozempic, more commonly known, it on average reduces calories by 24% per day. As I said, we're at 18% if you take it as instructed. So going back, so as an alternative, the second one, which is really interesting, and doctors are using it, we didn't promote it, in microdosing. So they're doing this microdosing of these very low levels, of whether it be semaglutide or tirzepatide at the lowest level. And they're giving Calicurb at the same time. So you're getting this exogenous, so synthetic hormone, but you're also stimulating your natural hormone.
Wow. So they're doing a hybrid.
Yeah. And then the third one, which I think is the most, they're all interesting, but this one is when you're titrating people off the injectables. Because, you know, there's been a lot, so bringing them off the injectables, there's been a lot of news or information about this weight regain. And
yeah, the rebound.
Over two-thirds of people, and probably more, because that was only measured over 62 weeks, rebound in their weight. So 75% of people rebound and possibly more. Now, there's multiple reasons for that. But one of the reasons is that when you're on a external hormone, when you're on a synthetic hormone, you suppress your natural hormones. Of course, your body doesn't need to produce them because you're taking it externally. And this is what we see with, you know, we see it with steroids, we see it with testosterone, we see it with everything. And this is actually clinically known, you suppress it. So when you come off the injectables, your natural gut-brain axis is zero. So no wonder your hunger, so it's not all the reason, part of the reason, your hunger is going to go bang. And you are going to be like, wow, and you've got no stop button. You haven't even got your natural stop button in there. So they're using Calicurb as people come off as this wonderful maintenance dose. And there's two reasons for that. As I said, physiologically, to kickstart that gut-brain axis, to get that natural GLP-1 working again. And the other thing is people have, and they've just done this paper about how people have this fear and hopelessness coming off these injectables. So there's real fear. So we're not only giving them a physiological kickstart, but we're also giving them something to take away that feeling of hopelessness. Because when you come off, there is no maintenance in there. There is no lower dosage. You literally come off. So, yeah, so three ways. And, it's been extraordinary. We just did a 50-patient trial in the US with a large practitioner using it in those three ways. And he's had sensational results. So 10 were on just Calicurb, 22 were on, 23 were on microdosing, and I think 23 or whatever were on, I don't think that adds up, it's something like that.
Yeah.
Were on the titrating off. And all of them were great. It's been written up now to be published, and all of them have maintained their weight loss.
Just incredible. So you were talking before about Big Pharma taking out hundreds of thousands of doctors to wine and dine them, educate them about the science, and get their little script pads out to recommend these pharmaceutical intervention strategies. What are you going to do as the little David versus Goliath in this story about getting it to more doctors, like the one that's doing this trial and getting these incredible results? Is it just one doctor at a time, or what's going to be your strategy for that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we go through the practitioner channel as well. I was in America 12 times last year. So literally every month. Don't tell immigration that, they'll probably...
As long as you leave, I don't think they care.
True. And we would have gone to probably 18 different conferences. So we go to conferences. We have speakers that speak about us. We publish papers. We have, you know, KOL doctors, key opinion leader doctors that we use. We have conferences. We have speakers. We have white papers. We have published papers. We have advertising where we can, but you know, it is a pay to play. We are doing our Series A round at the moment, which is accelerating, but so raising more money, which is accelerating but terrifying at the same place time. So you know, literally, we the biggest comment we get is, why haven't we heard of you before?
Right?
Haven't we heard of you? And, you know, if you look at what Nova did, they spent $1 billion.
Yeah.
So we're not going to spend that, but how they've educated the market. Thank you, Nova. Thank you. But how do we get that message out there? And, you know, as I said, conferences, $10,000 US, you know, just to attend. A speaker, $20,000 to $50,000. Yes. Clinical trials, as I said, so on.
$2 million.
$2 million. Yeah. So we're not at the Goliath, but the big thing for me, Tess, and I think hopefully for people listening, is there is nothing to take people off the injectables. There is no maintenance that's effective and affordable. And effective and affordable is the point. Hey, I don't feel so desperate coming off these because I have something that I can work with, and I can work more on, and let's talk about that. I can work more now on what my diet should be. You know, an injectable will make you have an extreme. I'm not interested in food. I'm not interested in it. I can eat tiny portions, literally, because I want to survive, right? Yeah. When you come off, you really want to be thinking about, what am I eating? What am I eating? How am I behaving? What are my triggers? So I just give, Calicurb gives you that safety net to think about that, to make healthier choices, because you're not going from no food to completely ravenous. You can start making those healthier choices and adapting your lifestyle to that.
You know, one of the big differentiating things amongst all the things that you've been talking about is not only that it's synthetic versus natural, but also that the injectables are going into your bloodstream. They're affecting your other organs. They're in your blood. They're mixing up with all the other stuff, right? So anything that has an effect has a side effect, and it keeps going on systemically around the body. It has all these other effects. And obviously the side effects are widely documenting, and we're discovering more every day. You talked about how Calicurb stays in the gastrointestinal tract and does not go into the bloodstream. You talked about how 5% of people may experience a laxative effect, yes, and may be adapting their dosage according to the symptoms and they may experience.
What and is it some will of be the... one off or a, it'll right. last 24 to 48 hours and, yeah, and usually go. But, you know, they may be the lucky people that are just a one.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah. So, and look, that's true of any supplement, any drug, any, you know, there's always going to, you don't know how it's going to affect you in any particular circumstance. That's true of anything that we might take. Because everything that has an effect has a side effect potentially. Yep. What are some of the other things that you've seen for people to be aware of when taking CaloCurb? You talked about taking it on an empty stomach with water, that sort of stuff. What else do we need to be aware of?
You know, that's about it. I know it sounds, but some people may get a burp, but if you're a guy, they don't, you know, they might get a little bit of a burp, but if you're a guy, you don't mind because like a beer burp.
It's like a badge of honor.
But it's a beer burp.
Maybe it's just because we're from New Zealand and Australia. Oh, that is hilarious. Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. So you have not had any other documented side effects so far other than those handful of what I would consider fairly innocuous things.
Yeah, if you Google it, we had one purported allergic reaction of 2018. We took that extremely seriously, and we went through an allergy doctor's called.
Yeah.
And I was a very important doctor. And we did a whole thing on it, and he literally called it an idiosyncratic reaction. But that's been out of hundreds of thousands, so I never want to play it down because, you know, this was reported in 2018. But I'd also say hops, which go into our beer, have been drunk for centuries. So its inherent safety is, you know, we have drunk it for years. Australian and New Zealand has drunk a lot of it for years.
That is so true. But out of hundreds of thousands of people that have taken it, that one case is, as you say, is completely idiosyncratic.
I do want to say as well, because if you've got herbalists or naturopaths there listening, they'll say, well, what about the phytoestrogen and hops? Using CO2 or carbon dioxide supercritical extraction, you remove all of the organic material. So you have no organic material. You are left with the alpha and beta acids plus a small amount of essential acids. So the alpha and beta acids give you the bittering in beer, and the essential oils, which are tiny, give you that flavoring in beer. So no organic material and no phytoestrogens.
I love that you're anticipating the questions that we're going to get. I love it. You've got this down, baby. You're like anticipating what I'm going to ask next. So it's available in the US. It's available in New Zealand. It's about to be available in Australia. And you just alluded to being available in Europe next. So what are you looking at in terms of the timeline for Europeans being able to access?
Oh, well, we're doing a trial in the UK literally starting in March. So that's a trial there. And we have our TGA and Austell approval in Australia. So we're looking at the second half. It is available in Australia through New Zealand. It's just a slightly longer postage. But we have our approval, regulatory approval in Australia. And we are getting our regulations in Canada. But, you know,
so exciting. So when will it be available in Canada, do you anticipate?
Oh, listen, I talked to the regulatory consultants the other day, and one that an application they'd put in a couple of weeks before us had just had some feedback. So I'm literally hoping any week now.
Wow. Incredible.
Well, Canadian practitioners and Canadians are asking us the whole time because, you know, it goes across the border and then it gets stopped and then a whole lot of things like that. So it's so much harder. And we'll be able to distribute then, you know, from Canada. I mean, obviously different labelling and so on like that. But, you know, we have different labelling in every jurisdiction.
Yeah, look, I just love the testing that's already gone into this and will continue to go into this, and just the integrity with which you're navigating this entire space. So I know that this is personal for you, Sarah. So you have been using CaloCope in your personal life. This is very much your baby. You believe in the science of this so much, and you've been using it in your daily life. And you've been very open about how using CaloCope has changed your relationship with food. So can you take me inside of that and what you hope for other people now using CaloCope?
I think, you know, a founder always has a story behind it, because to start any company, you have to be literally insane or certifiable. And so, you know, why? And I think because I had struggled with food since I was put on my first diet, I think, when I was 10. And so I've struggled with food my whole life. And I'd say it's this love-hate relationship. You know, you love it, you hate it. Binging, yo-yo dieting. And it's this absolute, love and hate. And obviously when I saw this, I loved the science. But, and I started taking it, but I can honestly say I am at peace with food now, absolutely at peace. I like it. It's great. I can eat it. I just don't eat as much. So gone of those dreadful, it's just, you know, it's, I'm at peace. And so many people say to me, we take the noise out of their head. I think it's just even a bit more than that. And, you know, you talk to so many people, and it doesn't just have to be women, it's men as well. And they can repeat this love-hate relationship. And just to be able to take that away and feel at peace, like, you know, I can walk past that muffin, or I don't have to grab it and eat it all down and then hate myself for it. Even if I do want it, you know, I maybe only have half of it or a quarter of it.
I liked what you were saying earlier in our conversation about willpower, that it goes beyond that. And for so many years, you were just sort of told, well, you don't have any willpower, you're weak, you know, or, you know, you're just greedy or whatever it is. And now we know that it goes well beyond that. And as you point out, the millions and millions of dollars that went into research by these pharmaceutical companies has been a gift to educate us about GLP-1 and these other hormones that affect our hunger and satiety and affect our ability to process sugar and metabolize and just focusing on metabolic health. This conversation around that.
Around this lack of willpower. And, you know, let's go down, just very quickly go down to why it is. It's evolution. Right, you know, we talked about bitterness and evolution, but evolution, our hunger is controlled by our hindbrain. So when you decrease your calories by 25%, your hunger actually doubles over 4 months. Now, that was an evolutionary trait that made us get out of the caves. Otherwise, we'd all be lying there going, oh, you know what, it's a bit cold. Oh, you know what, it's raining. I don't want to go outside now. You know what, I'm okay. It's saying your body or your hindbrain is saying you get out there, you hunt for food because you could be going into a famine, and your body or your physiology fights to keep that metabolic state and where it is. So, you know, when you try and diet and you reduce that calories, your hindbrain is sending these signals for you to eat, and you just need stress, hormones, alcohol, anything like that, and that forebrain just literally topples off, and off you go. You're off. You know, how many times, well, I don't know, but I know for me, how many times have you eaten hot chips late at night?
More times than I would, I'd like to admit, but if there was an hour left on earth, I'd spend some of it eating french fries, let me tell you.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm saying, you know, that is your hindbrain going, woohoo, I'm off now. You know, I've got you, forebrain, because you've been weakened and I'm off, and here's those hot chips. So, yeah, so this can help quieten that noise, but I'll go back to it. We are just a tool in a toolkit. You know, you have to think about everything and forgive yourself sometimes, but think about, you know, we are there just to assist you to make healthier choices.
So what's your dream for CaloCurb? What's your big dream? I know that you took this over. This is a big, big personal mission for you. If I was Mary Poppins and I was going to pull stuff out of my carpet bag, what would it be?
And you're going to fly away in your umbrella?
Of course.
No, what would it be? You know what I want to get away from? It's about just weight and weight loss. This is about, as I said to you, it's about every day being able to help you. You know, you may not, take it at a lower dose, but allow it every day to help you in the modern world, because our physiology is not going to change, right? You know, we've evolved over thousands and thousands of years. It is not going to change. So what was an asset for us in evolution or in primeval times is now a liability. So for me, it's about getting off. It's about a world where we're not just talking about weight loss. We're just talking about healthy choices and weight maintenance. And it's not about being skinny. It has been about healthy.
Yeah. Well, I am excited to see where this goes, and I cannot wait for CaloCurb to fully be available in Canada, Europe, Australia, the UK, all of these places, because I know after people hear just the incredible science behind this product, everyone's going to want to get their hands on it, and of course it's already exploding in the US. So I close every episode with the same question. So I'm going to ask you as somebody who has just brought so many companies to the fore and just gone after stuff and has been a CEO to watch on so many lists in so many communities all these years, it's so inspiring. For somebody that has a dream in their heart and they don't feel like they quite have what it takes to make it happen, as somebody that makes stuff happen, what would you say to them?
I never don't believe in yourself. I think always have the childlike wonder of the world and just, be kind to yourself. Does that make sense? You know, be kind to yourself and always look at things with a childlike wonder and think, wow, you know, this is fun. I always say, you know, you're very kind about my career, but I always say it's a bit like a drunken spider on a slippery window screen. You know, it kind of goes from one to the other. I mean, it's been enormous fun, but it's also been things that have interested me, you know, absolutely fascinated me. And so I'd love to say I've been very lucky, but probably it was just the drunken spider.
Well, I think you're being very humble, but I do take your point of doing what you're drawn to, doing what you're passionate about, doing what you find fascinating with that childlike wonder and then taking action on it. Oh, gosh, thank you for this fabulous conversation. I'm so excited about CaloCurb.
Thanks, Tess. It's been great to talk to you.
Oh, this is an exciting development in the space. It was interesting what she was saying about the benefits of big pharma educating people about the hormone GLP-1. I don't think most people were aware of the importance of it and what it did in the body to speak to leptin and ghrelin, our hunger and satiety hormones, and insulin to regulate our blood sugar and our food cravings and so forth. Gosh, it's exciting to learn about the results that they're getting in clinical trials and with consumers and practitioners they're working with in terms of the reduction in appetite and food cravings, caloric intake, and helping people make better food choices and have a healthy, more balanced relationship with food. I really love the way she frames CaloCurb as a tool in your toolkit to help you in the modern world. That, our physiology has evolved over thousands of years, and what was an asset ages ago is now a liability, and that it's not about being skinny, it's about being healthy. Gosh, we got some really clear information about the difference between natural GLP-1 production in the body, the synthetic injectables, and CaloCurb being a natural alternative. That the natural GLP-1 that we produce in our gut and in other parts of our body lasts about 2 minutes in the body. And with a GLP-1 injectable, the synthetic, they've copied natural GLP-1 and changed one molecule. So it lasts 7 days in the body before it's broken down. And it gets injected, goes into your bloodstream, and then you have high levels of GLP-1 sitting in your body 24 hours a day, even when you're sleeping and you don't need it. So that's how people, when they're injecting at these high dosages, are getting this toxicity, and it's causing a lot of these adverse symptoms. I'm watching the space closely, and it's really fascinating to watch practitioners now realize that these dosages are too high and that they're getting really great results by microdosing and doing some other things in conjunction with these injectables to help people sustainably lose weight and then titrate off these injectables. You know, that CaloCurb is such a great tool for that, right? Because it's completely natural. It was interesting to hear about the difference, right? That they're activating those bitter taste buds in your gastrointestinal tract. Fascinating stuff. Like, and it just ding, 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 like a pinball machine to stimulate your natural GLP-1 production. That 99% of CaloCurb is digested in the lower colon and less than 1% in the bloodstream. So it doesn't interfere with your liver and your kidneys, other medications. Oh, gosh, it was so exciting to learn about the different ways that you can use it. Like, unlike the injectables where you have to take it every week and most people have to stay on it or they get the rebound effect, that you can just take it when you want it for what you need. So some people are taking a half dose, one capsule before breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some people are doing a whole dose, two capsules, to control portions and prevent cravings. So that would be really helpful, you know, after dinner, right? Some people are taking it in the morning to prevent those mid-morning cravings. Women are taking it when they've got the cravings during their menstrual cycle. Other people are taking it before exercising to prevent overeating and feeling ravenously hungry post-workout. Gosh, it was fascinating to learn that women are more responsive to GLP-1 and just recognizing our physiology because of our menstrual cycle. Oh, gosh, I just love the flexibility, you know, that you can just take it when you want. And, you know, when she talked about taking it when you're traveling, you know, if you to stop yourself from binging on things too much and stuff like that, that it really is incredibly versatile, right? And you can sort of take what you like and leave the rest. So just to recap the three ways you can use it. So people are using it as a natural alternative to Ozempic and other injectables if you don't want to take it. The second way is that they're microdosing, like we talked about, to get that effect from the synthetic hormone and then also stimulating your natural GLP-1 hormone at the same time. And then the third way is they're using CaloCurb to help people titrate off the injectables so that they don't get that rebound weight gain that over 2/3 of people are experiencing right now. Wow. I mean, gosh, again, when she was talking about how the synthetic hormone suppresses your natural production, right? And that gut-brain access is pretty much goes down to zero. So you don't, that stop button isn't there anymore. That was a really good way of explaining it, right? And how the CaloCurb sort of kickstarts that process again, that natural production. And so you have that maintenance backup product that gives you the psychological kickstart and the physiological kickstart. That was really interesting when she was saying that, because I'd never really thought about that the shame and the guilt and the stigma of, oh, well, I lost it and then I put it back on again. And oh gosh, you know, that really, really touched my heart thinking about that, you know? So if you're struggling with that yo-yo dieting and that weight gain and weight loss, this might be something that you want to check out. I really appreciated that she shared her personal experience with it and how she had struggled with weight and that yo-yo dieting her entire life. And this has given her freedom to feel more in control and at peace with her relationship with food. Wow, it's amazing. So Sarah and her team have given us a coupon code for the next month. So you can go to calocurb.com. You can also to the United States website. You can also go to the New Zealand website if you're in New Zealand and Australia and get 10% off CaloCurb using the coupon code TM10. Oh, please leave a review and share in the Facebook group what resonated with you. I'd love to hear about your relationship with food. You know, what are you struggling with? What prevents you from making better choices? What are the blocks there? And what are you doing to get past it? I just find this stuff really, really fascinating. So I can't wait to hear what you think.
I want to hear about your It Has To Be Me story. So head on over to ithastobeme.com/stories to share it in our free community. You can also join the conversations we're having about this episode and others. I'm Tess Masters. Join me next week and we'll dive inside another great story to help us go from dreaming to doing.